Good morning, everybody. It's a bit cooler, isn't it? Means we're free to worship again. I'm so trying. But it's good that we can come. Thanks. It's good that we can come and worship and come in freedom and peace. We'll just pause slightly. Morning. So as we think about, again, how the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in all truth as we worship, both as individuals and as God's family, because our worship doesn't just end on a Sunday morning, does it? So as you were learning last week about being salt and light for Jesus, we think about how God's word dwells in us so that we can do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the center of who we are and all that we do. And so we gather in the name of the living Christ to worship God. Surely God is with us and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. God's love is for you and for all people everywhere, that we may share God's love and life, that we would be renewed in the refreshing spirit of the living Christ. The living Christ is with us, and so we praise the Lord. Amen. As we sing our first hymn this morning, which is number 560, it references our reading as it calls us to set our hearts on heavenly things through praise to Christ our King.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come this morning and as we've just sung, Lord, that we can praise you for your faithfulness, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to us, and we pray, Lord, that we too could be faithful to you in all that we do and all that we are. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and we look around and see you in the beauty of your creation. We do thank you, Lord, for the sun and the moon and the stars. And Lord, as the sun shines this morning, that perhaps our hearts are brighter for it. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that he has done for each one of us. Lord, I pray that we would perhaps dwell a bit more on your word, not only your word and the holy living Bible, but your word, Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would acknowledge that we are who we are and we will be who we will be because of Jesus. Lord, as we come this morning with perhaps so many things on our hearts, Lord, I just pray that we would just perhaps just clear those out, Lord, so we can concentrate on you. That there would be no barriers to your grace, to your love. Lord, you know each one of us intimately. You know every thought that's in our minds, every word that we're going to say before we say it. Lord, I thank you that you love each one of us unconditionally. Lord, perhaps because of the way that the world is, we're not so aware of our sin and that we are sinners in need of a saviour. We're sorry, Lord, when we just carry on our own sweet way doing what we want to do. We're sorry for the times that we don't listen to you when you're speaking to us, Lord, in that small, calm voice. We're sorry, Lord, when we don't love our neighbours as ourselves. Perhaps, Lord, when you prompt us to do or say that, we just turn that deaf ear, Lord. But, Lord, I thank you that we can come to you in repentance and ask for forgiveness. That, Lord, you meet us where we are. Lord, you're not waiting for us to be perfect before we can do things for you. You equip us through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to move in ways, Lord, that perhaps we can't even imagine. Lord, we do pray for your church worldwide as it seeks to be a heavenly servant of yours. That, Lord, that people would continue to seek you and hear your voice, Lord. Act on your commands to love one another. Lord, we know as we watch the news, as we listen to what's going on, not just around the world, Lord, but in our own country, in our own neighbourhoods, things aren't as we would want them to be, Lord, so they're obviously not as you would. Lord, we give thanks for those who risk their lives going into areas where there is war and civil unrest. We thank you for the peacekeepers and the aid workers. We ask, Lord, that you would empower them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for the leaders that they would, if they're not Christians already, Lord, that they would listen to the Christian voice. Lord, there are so many things that are set against your holy word. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by the sheer scale of the way that the world's going. But Lord, we draw hope and peace and comfort that you are in charge, that you have everything in your hands. And Lord, that is our hope. That is our future. That's why we come and we choose to worship you for all that you are. So Lord, I pray as we continue in worship this morning, as we continue in praise with songs, Lord, that have been led by your Holy Spirit, We give thanks, Lord, for the hymn writers, for the beautiful words that enable us to praise you. But Lord, that they wouldn't just be words on a book, Lord, that they would be sung from our hearts as we leave this place later. So Lord, continue to bless us. Continue to show us your way. And continue, Lord, to build your church here. Amen. Amen. And so let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We continue in praise as we sing number 24, All Things Praise Thee, Lord Most High. As I was thinking about what to say to you this morning, And I came back from spending a week basically doing nothing. It was lovely. God spoke to me and said, go back to the passage that I shared with some of you at Wednesday Fellowship back at the beginning of June. So we're going to look at Colossians 3, which is on page 1184 of the Bibles in front of you, behind you, by the side of you. And our passage is entitled, Living as Those Made Alive in Christ. Do you feel alive this morning?
Yes.
Some of you look more than others. But living as those made alive in Christ. And as we're thinking about doing everything, Holy Spirit's just come in through the doors. Look at that. Amen. As we think about doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's something that Paul is really, really strong on. If you read any of his letters to the churches, both at Galatia, Ephesus, here at Colossae. And the passage starts by and follows Paul's advice on sins to avoid by listing positive behaviours Christians should endeavour to emulate. Among those are compassion and humility, patience, forgiveness. But more important than any other is love. And we keep coming back to love, don't we? Whenever we think about God's word, it comes back to love. And we can never love like God loves us, but we can have a good try. Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do whatever God wants us to do. But by having love in our hearts, by having the love of God, it inspires us then to have those other qualities of compassion, of patience, forgiveness. But it binds us together, not as individuals who believe somehow and some ways in Jesus, but as his family, as his body, because we are one under Christ. Paul opens the idea of following Christ to include every aspect of our lives, whatever we think or do. As believers, ought to be compatible with the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that feels really heavy, doesn't it? So let's see what Paul's got to say as Diana gives us our reading.
The reading is Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17, living as those made alive in Christ. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were all called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you, richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
So instead of wallowing in sin, Christians are to put on their new selves, doing everything for the glory of God, positive behaviours which believers are to imitate. Christian love is what allows each one of us, as imperfect diverse people to be bound together as one spiritual body. And so as we unpack that reading, we'll sing number 463. And again, that this hymn echoes the words that we've just heard. It calls to let Christ's mind, word and peace dwell richly within each one of us. 463, may the mind of Christ our Saviour. Let's pray. Lord, as we've just heard those words, may what we hear from your word this morning, what we hear from your spirit this morning, Lord, not just be in our hearing, Lord, but in our being and our doing. Lord, I pray that our heart's desire would be to do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, just clear out anything that's obstructing us now so that we will hear your word to each one of us. Amen. In case you haven't heard, it's not coming home. Spoiler alert, I'm sorry. After the huge disappointment of Wednesday evening, and what can only be a token gesture last night. Anybody stay up? Just so I know who's going to drop off. Half? First half. Yeah. Well, it's kind of done by the first half, really, wasn't it? But yeah, I was a good girl. I went to bed because it's a school night for me. But, you know, tonight's the World Cup final in less than 12 hours. Barring extra time and penalties, we will know where it is going. And I echo the words of our last Prime Minister. I didn't agree with him much, but he said, I wish both teams the best of luck on Sunday, and especially Spain. Obviously, there should be no bias from the pulpit whatsoever, but come on, Spain! There is elation and joy at what the England men have achieved during this tournament as they sought to emulate the team of 66 and put all of the underachievement to rest. It's true to say they've not achieved their full potential, either in the past and yet again. Just as the song goes, 30 years of hurt has now become 60 years of hurt, if you know the song I'm talking about. But if you've been watching any of the matches, you will have heard as the crowds have increased, because they were a little bit flat, weren't they, at the beginning? There wasn't so many at the earlier matches. The volume has increased. The supporters, they cheer and they shout and they sing for their teams. So much so, you've probably noticed that the commentators can't even hear themselves speak, which is actually a blessing sometimes. And and let alone the players trying to communicate while they're on the pitch. And of course, it's America, so everything is bigger, isn't it? And more flamboyant and just louder. Some have likened it to hero worship. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be awesome if Christians would celebrate our big thing as enthusiastically in everything we do, just as our passage is urging us to do. As we've been thinking about how the Holy Spirit helps and guides us in our worship of God our Father through the word of Christ, I'm reminded of the quote from A.W. Tozer. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Some of you will remember when I spoke on this passage at Wednesday Fellowship in June. I brought my washing to church. It's the kind of thing I do. I bought my t-shirts. Do you remember? Yes. It's indwelled in your mind, isn't it, Brian? I bought my red one and I bought my England one just to make him feel a bit better. But they showed the positive behaviours that we've just read about, which Christians are supposed to practice. And if you remember, I used the quote, "We are what we wear." Now you might think, oh. Well, I'm talking about what goes on in here and what we show to those around us. Now, as you know, I am not adverse to wearing a football shirt. I thought about it this morning a bit. I also thought about my shorts and flip-flops, but I put clothes on. But just as our shirts or our t-shirts distinguish potentially if we wear them, who we support, wouldn't it be more awesome if we were wearing the colours of Team Jesus? If we were showing those qualities by what we say and what we do, as we display the behaviours and the fruits of the Spirit that would show as the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. I'm not adverse to chanting a football anthem either. We sing when we're happy, don't we? Most of us. You're not, yeah, I'm not looking at you, Brian. We're not sure. Do we sing? Do we sing when we're happy? Do we sing when we're pottering around the house doing things? Some of you. Sometimes. We sing in many situations. I like the acoustics in the shower. They're always good for a good song. I don't know what my neighbours think. Don't care. But, you know, it's a thought on your head, isn't it? But we sing as a sign of gratitude. If you notice, and I did prompt you as to get you thinking and waking up, that our opening hymns were both songs of praise. God is not only worthy of all our praise, he is worthy of all our thankfulness. But the basis of all our songs from the Spirit, as we read in verse 16, and the declaration of the good news that brings life through Jesus. As the message says, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly It was lovely that the hymn that we just sang echoed those words exactly. Letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That word of Christ that fills our hearts, that we are tuned to be thankful children of God. And as we look again at verse 16, it lists three specific applications of Christ's word dwelling inside a believer. The first two characteristics are noted together as teach and admonish. Christ's word can instruct us, and at the same time, it can also show us where we are wrong. Because we like being shown where we're wrong, don't we? Not much. The word of Christ gives us guidance in how to correct mistakes in what we believe and what we do. And as I said, Paul likes these themes. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think Paul was big into singing. I know he was labelled as a bit of a misery, but you know, he talks in his letters about singing either songs from the Spirit or spiritual songs. Spiritual communicates the influence of the Holy Spirit living in each believer and showing itself as acts of praise. Paul encourages the singing of various types of spiritual songs. And he never gives preference to one type of music over another. That's a modern day church thing. Don't like that hymn. Don't like that song. Well, we didn't sing that hymn with that tune when I was young. Paul just says, get on with it and sing. Sing praises to God. His purpose here is to state that all types of music were to be used to let the word of Christ dwell richly within us. And as we read and sing those hymns, as we see that a lot of them are reflecting the word of God itself. The person who wrote the hymns is using scripture in their acts of praise and worship to encourage us to praise and worship. The singing was to be done with an attitude of thanksgiving. Singing praise to God is largely associated with showing gratitude to him rather than focusing on ourselves and our own desires. Many have said God created us for the ultimate priority of worshipping him. As I quote often the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I know we haven't quite got our heads around the fact that when we're in heaven with God, we're going to be praising forever. So you grumpy people who do not like singing, you better start liking it because we're going to be singing praises for eternity. It's going to be a long eternity, isn't it? When we look at the longest book in the Bible, the Psalms, which were and still are the hymn book of believers, they're all about praising and worshipping God, whatever the psalmist's circumstances. Even if it starts off a bit doomy and gloomy, by the end of it, they're worshipping and they're praising. At the end of the Bible, we see the saints and the angels in heaven falling on their faces and worshipping God. We don't see a lot of falling on our faces in church nowadays, do we? Don't worry, I'll help you up. But since worship will be our ceaseless activity and greatest joy in heaven, I think we need to be getting a bit more practice in. So what is the meaning of Christian worship? The meaning of the New Testament Greek word, often translated as worship, is to fall down before or bow down before. So not only are we going to actually, you know, get a bit more active in our singing and do a bit more of it, we're also going to start doing a bit more falling down and bowing down. Because that is the attitude of our spirit. We're so British, aren't we? Those of us that are. Oh, can't do that. Somebody might watch. Somebody might be looking at me. Oh, if I raise my hands. Oh, no. It's an internal thing, isn't it? Praise kind of spills out of us, doesn't it? Overflows. It could and it should be done most of the time, for all of the time in our lives, regardless of place or situation, we read. Therefore, Christians worship all the time, 7 days a week. Imagine worshipping God like supporters encouraging their team 7 days a week. When we formally gather together in worship, virtually, for those that are joining us on Zoom or building, still the emphasis should be on individually worshipping our Lord. Even in a congregation as we are, we need to be aware that we are worshipping God fully on an individual basis. If you notice, when you watch any team sport, that if somebody starts to chant in the crowd, that soon it kind of starts to spread around. People join in. It's not many that go, oh no, somebody's watching. They don't join in with this. They're like, yes, full in. I'm encouraging us to be, yes, full in, at least for the summer. Christmas would be great. The nature of Christian worship is from the inside out. God is spirit. We must worship in spirit and truth, as Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well. Without the Holy Spirit residing within us, we can't respond to God in worship because we don't know him. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, Paul tells the believers at Corinth. And so that's why we need God's Holy Spirit in us to help us to worship. He's the one who energizes us worship, because he, in its essence, is glorifying God, the one true God who deserves our worship. Paul urges believers again to the Romans, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Distractions of many kinds can flood our minds as we try to praise and glorify God, hindering our true worship. We can only worship in spirit by having a pure heart, open and repentant. As David understood, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. All worship is a response to truth, and that truth is contained within the Word of God. To truly worship God, we must understand who he is and what he has done. And the only place that we're going to find that is in the Word of God. Worship is an expression of praise from the depths of our hearts towards a God who is understood through his Word. If we don't have the truth of the Bible, we don't know God, and we can't be truly worshipping. When we do know him, then we can truly worship beyond an hour a week and fulfill God, Paul's words. It says in verse 17, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our treasure, the truth, we are designed to worship God and are given his spirit with which to do so. Our whole lives become an act of worship. Somebody once said, worship, by the way, is not music. Worship is loving God. Worship is honouring God. Worship is knowing God for who he is, adoring him, obeying him, proclaiming him as a way of life. Music is one way we express that adoration. If we would read God's words of love to us until we are excited by their truth, his spirit will fill our hearts and minds. We read throughout Paul's letters, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That is the most excellent way. By having the word of Christ permeating through our minds and having songs and hymns of praise bubbling to the surface as we go about our daily chores, whatever you want to call them, means that we can live thankfully under the Lordship of Christ in whatever we face and find happiness beyond our circumstances. They were happy in God, and we can be happy in God if we learn to thankfully worship him with our whole being. In those days, worshipping anywhere and everywhere seems to be so easy, perhaps too easy. Today we can access the Bible on any device. Bible notes drop into our inbox or are available on an app, and yes, still in a book. Many people say they're too busy to read their Bibles or to pray or to listen to God. But many also seem to think that it has to happen in a certain way or with certain words or at a particular time. Some suggest it only needs to happen at church. We must remember that God meets us where we are. Are you going to walk out today and expect to meet God in the street, in the people that you meet? Or are you just going to go home and cook your roast? He doesn't wait for us to get together. We're not perfect, yet his arms are open and he welcomes us in, trying to hide what we, our sin is what separates us from God. He expects us to mess up, and I'm quite relieved about that because I do it quite often. But he also wants us to be real about our mistakes, because the Spirit intercedes for us, and by that we read that we aren't condemned. And that's why, again, we should be willing to worship. The truth is that God accepts our repentance, our regrets. He forgives us, and we are free to worship by the power of his Holy Spirit with, as we've read, songs from the same Spirit. And as for the Three Lions song, it has been 30 years of hurt and another 30. Will it be another 30? We're coming home. We're coming home to Jesus. We're going to be praising for eternity. That is the promise from God, eternal life through Jesus Christ. I wasn't born when England won the last final, just to put it into context. Previous managers have said it's time for them, that's the team that they're currently managing, to make their own history. We need to make our story part of God's story, his story, bringing our lives in worship beyond an hour on Sunday. His Holy Spirit shows us what it's to be to worship in all circumstances, at all times. We have a reason to be celebrating. Okay, England is not going to bring the World Cup home this time. Spain is. But it's not what we've achieved, but what Jesus has through God, by the Holy Spirit, making it known in our hearts. When the word of God dwells in each one of us, the love of Christ shines through. That's how, as you were learning last week, you can be salt and light in the community. As we have seen, celebrations are contagious. So I want you all to go out and be contagious, not in the chicken pox kind of way. As God's chosen ones, let's sing our songs and put on love that shines for all to see. We have something even better, and we need to show our God off, because he is with us forever, and the victory we have is in Jesus. May the Holy Spirit empower us in our endeavours. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to worship you properly. We want to give you acceptable gifts. Jesus' word tells us that the best gift is an honest spirit, a truthful intention. Father, we invite you to see our hearts and to point out the distractions there. Show us where we are inaccurate, using our own thoughts and not your word. Challenge us and accept our repentance. May your word swell richly in us and quench our thirst for truth, where we can prepare to worship you in all things. Amen. So we're going to do some praising and some swaying as we sing number 302, I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ. Hang on. Thanks for the workout. Let's join together in prayer. This is the t-shirt prayer that I shared with Wednesday Fellowship, and that we nail our colours to Jesus' mask. Open our eyes and look around, see what God is doing. The day of salvation is closer than we think. Don't let ourselves get so caught up in everyday activities that we lose sight of the life that God has called us to. Put aside the attitudes and actions that belong to the darkness and instead clothe ourselves with the presence of Jesus Christ, living and acting today as we will live and act when he comes again. Holy Spirit, give us more of the qualities that we need. Lord, as your chosen and deeply loved children, we ask for the grace to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Over all these virtues, help us to walk in your perfect, binding love today. Amen.